The following lecture, titled Unity Through Diversity, was recorded Saturday, November the 15th, 1997, at the Masonic Temple in Decatur, Illinois. The lecturer is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
Thank you. We greet you. We greet you with peace. As we say in Islam, Assalamu alaikum. It is indeed a great honor for us, the Muslim community that I'm associated with, and for all of us in Islam here in America, to be welcomed here and given the kind of respect that we are receiving here in Decatur. We certainly appreciate the presence of the mayor of this city, Mayor Holly, and the other city department heads that are present here, and all the distinguished guests that we have here on the platform with us today. We thank God for our presence here, and we pray that we will please Him with our efforts. Imam Johnny Hassan, we appreciate his leadership here very much. It's a credit to the whole Muslim community throughout the United States. I would like to begin by saying, Islam, the religion of Islam, the word itself is derived from peace. Salama means to make peace or to give peace. And al-Islam means to give ourselves to God in obedience to Him so that we will have peace. Therefore, the name of the religion is peace, as-Salam. The peace. Al-Islam means accepting to live in obedience to God so that you will have peace. So that you will have peace. Al-Islam, first of all, is a faith. Like all other great religions, they're more important as a faith, firstly. As a faith, it requires that we begin always with first things. In Islam, we say, Allahu Akbar. It means God is greater, greater. It's translated even by Muslims from different parts of the world in English. God is greatest, or God is the greatest. And I think that's because of the difference between Arabic and language grammar, communication, the rules for communicating in that language and English is different. In Arabic, we have better, best. We don't have it like that. We don't have big, bigger, biggest. We just have small, big, big, bigger, big, bigger. That's the language. So when we say God is the greatest, we have to use bigger, bigger. We say God is bigger. Allahu Akbar means God is bigger. Allah is God. God is Allah. Our God says to us in our holy book, say to the people of the book, Christians and Jews, our God and your God is one and the same. This is in the Quran, our holy book. We have to accept that. It says, say to them, our God and your God is one and the same. And our book also identify Christians and Jews as people of the book, meaning that like Muslims, they have been formed by the Word of God. They received the Word of God through their prophets, Jesus, upon him be peace, for the Christians, and Moses, Musa, upon him be peace, and many other of the prophets that came to the Jews, upon them be peace, and Muhammad, who is called in our holy book a mercy to all people, a mercy to all the worlds, upon him be peace. All of them received their messages, their communication from God for the people that they were sent to, Muhammad being a messenger, a universal messenger. And we know that each of God's messengers and prophets in their particular, I would say, role in God's plan to bring man to the best life possible for him on this earth and the best future possible for him hereafter, that in their roles, all of them are universal figures. Universal figures. Though some of them were sent to particular people. And Muhammad sent to mankind. So what we want to focus on here for the time that we will be speaking to you is Islam's way of bringing the human person who believes in Islam to the best possible life on this earth and hereafter. And the way that is done, to first get us to understand the environment, ourselves, in the great environment that we find ourselves in. The environment not only of earth, but the environment of the skies and earth, the total environment. To understand ourselves, understand our place here, and to be able to relate to what's outside and also to ourselves, what's inside, and in a way that will be productive for us and not destructive. So God calls us to see relationships. Not even the great prophet Abraham, called Ibrahim in Islam, not even the great prophet Abraham was able to come to God directly, by a direct route. All of them had to first look at themselves, be curious about themselves. What am I? Who am I? Why am I here? As I believe the police chief says, what is our purpose here on this earth? Well, that is the question. That is among the first questions for Muslims. And for the great prophets who brought us the great religions from God, the first question is, why? Who? Why? Who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose? Relationships and indebtedness, a relationship and a debt. We have a relationship with our parents, and we have a debt to our parents. So Islam, it is established that we, whatever we have a relationship with, we have a debt to that. In the Islamic Brotherhood, even a bad Muslim, I'm related to him. He's a Muslim. I'm related to him as a Muslim. He's a bad Muslim, though. Should I break my relationship? No. I shouldn't break my relationship. The Prophet said, what do we do in that case? We try to pull him back from his wrongdoings. So we have an obligation to him. We have an obligation to everything. And the greatest debt that we owe is to the one responsible for everything. For everything in the skies and everything down here and everywhere. That's God, the Creator. And this is what we have, too, in common with the great faiths of Christianity and Judaism. That we believe in the God that is responsible for all things that exist, and that he was before all things that exist, and he is not dependent upon all things that exist or anything that exists. He's not sustained, he's not supported by, he's not dependent upon all of this existence, but all of this existence is dependent upon him. And just to let the women movement know that I'm one of their followers, at least part of the way in the road that they're walking or running. I'm one of their followers. God in the language, in Arabic grammar, and believe me, I've heard the learned in Judaism tell me that when they want to, they have very special terms in their language, in the Jewish language, and they are not comfortable with that term, its meaning, they will consult Arabic, mm-hmm. which Arabic is another Semitic language. Right. It's a Semitic language, the language of the Semitic people. And so they will consult that language. They believe that Arabic holds the Arabic language, and I'm not even pronouncing the word correctly, this is the way we pronounce it in English, is Arabiya, which is difficult. So I didn't come to teach you Arabic, and you didn't come to learn Arabic. So they believe that Arabic language has more terms that have not been diluted or corrupted in the religious vocabulary. This is for the Jewish people, than even the Jewish language, than even the language of the Jews. So they will go back to that. So here is one thing that we find in Arabic. Arabic really has no sex communication like we have, male gender, female gender, neuter gender. We don't have that in Arabic. Everything is either male or female in Arabic grammar. Everything is male or female. So it doesn't make me think that God is a human being if I have always been raised in an Arabic-speaking environment. I wouldn't think that God has to be a human being because we say he. But I find in our experience now, I'm not talking about the experience of all African-American believers in God, but in our experience, the experience of the Nation of Islam, the Temple of Islam as it's called, both names are proper for the group that I came out of, that had a lot of misconceptions regarding Islam. And that's why we came out of it. In that group, we did have a problem because we thought that if God is he, God is a man. So the sex message came to us in a way that made us, the sex message, gender message came to us in a way to make us believe God must be a man, because scripture says he. Again, I say that if you were raised all of your life in an Arabic-speaking environment, you wouldn't have that problem, because you would be calling everything he or she. Everything on the dinner table is either he or she. Everything you wear, he or she. Everything in the environment is he or she. So why is God then he and not she? Because God says that he revealed this in the language of the people so that they will understand. He revealed it in the language of the people so that they will understand. So the reason why is that if we say female, for most of the cultures of the world, we are putting God down if we say female. Even in the theologies of the great religions, if we say God is female, we are putting God down. Because we look at male as the head in the society. And we look at the male as the head in his family, in his household. So really, the he means the boss, that's all. Since we think that he is the boss in our environment, then we have to use a language that respects what we believe. You see? So we must say he be the boss. That's what we're talking about, the boss. Relationships. We must have a better awareness of relationships, more knowledge of relationships, so that we can appreciate relationships more and know our obligation to those relationships. The obligation is first to God, who has given us more. The greatest obligation is to God. Yeah. An obligation, paying a debt, is a way of saying thanks. In fact, if you owe me something and you say thank you but never pay me back, you didn't complete your thanks. So the real way to thank God is to do what you're obligated to do. Don't just say thank you, God. Don't think you can just pray with the hands like this or open like that or whatever and say thank you, God, and that's all of it. No. Are you paying him back? He gave you your life. The way you pay him back for your life is to live it as your religion tells you you should live it. Relive your life as God told the prophets you should live it. And if you live it as your Bible, as your Christian gospel tells you to live it, then in your particular situation, you are paying your debt back to that God. So the Muslim owes his whole life to his God. And the way we pay God back for this, say thank you to God, is to do our best to live this life as God has revealed that we should live it. So we go to the most important source for our information, our guidance, our help, our support, our understanding, etc. We go to the scripture, to the Quran. The Christian will go to the gospel. The Jew will go to the Torah, or what you would call the Old Testament, etc. So this is a great light of understanding for us. It's to know that God has made everything, and that God has made everything for man to try to know it, perceive it, recognize it. And then once he's aware of it or knows it, then fulfill his obligation to it. We have an obligation. We have a lot of similarities even in our religion with the primitive religion, what we call primitive religion. Many of the natives of America, they have a sense of respect for Mother Earth that we should have on the highest level of civilization. We should have this sense. Now you're just coming into us and a knowledge that all of this world is connected, and we are interdependent. The atmosphere, if we let it be polluted, it's going to hurt us. If we don't care for the animals, pretty soon it's going to hurt us. If we don't care for the plants, and we do things to the plants that's no good for the plants, most likely it's going to come back on us one day. So this whole world is connected. It's one system. And God has made it to work all together. The plants support the animals. The animals support the plants. Everything supports the other. Man supports all of them. Put man in the garden. This is not just the Bible, this is also the Quran. The man was put in the garden when he was made. He was put in the garden. That's a beautiful name. In the past, it was an agricultural world. It wasn't an industrial world, it was an agricultural world. So they understood garden. Garden is the life that we live on. Garden is the life that supports us. The garden is agriculture, beauty, beautiful agriculture. Put man in the garden. And we know that agriculture has supported everything that have come after it. It took agriculture to support industry, and industry to give us science. Everything has supported the other and to bring us forward. And most of the great prophets, they were agriculturalists. Yes, they had land to till, or they had cattle or sheep. Yes, shepherds. Yes, I think the preacher still called a shepherd. And he's not taking care of the flock. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean that. Well, something has gone wrong. Most of the preachers have become too political and too materialistic. And I'm not sparing any of them. Not any of the religions. I find them in Islam. We in our particular small community, it was called the Temple of Islam, Nation of Islam. During the late 60s and the early 70s, you couldn't tell the average minister in his looks from Superfly. If you saw the movie Superfly, you saw the minister. Relationships, and what we owe those relationships, what we owe. After God, the relationship that God wants you to be aware of is your parents, the parents. As Allah revealed to the Prophet and one of the prophets in the Quran, that they bring us into this world while going through great difficulty. Sometimes the pain of carrying the baby for 9 months, or delivering the baby at the time of delivery, is so much that the mother may faint, may pass out. And we are told that we should remember how we were brought into this world and who is responsible for bearing the pain and the suffering for us while we were lying in the bed helpless as an infant, while we were struggling to walk and toppling around. Someone was caring for us to see that we wouldn't hurt ourselves and to see that nothing else would hurt us. To remember that and remember your debt to your parents. Now, we know in the society, even back then, there were parents who, were, for some reason, they couldn't be with their children. Their children were often sometime before they could even get to know their parents. And there were others to take up that responsibility. We should remember that debt, no matter whether the parent is of our, we are the genetic child of that parent or the biological child of that parent or not. We should remember the debt to the ones that carried out that responsibility. And God says, and family has a priority with God. Family has first priority with God, pardon me. Family has first priority with God. That means after God, your next obligation is to your family. After God, your next obligation is to your parents, your family. Yes, in the book of God, that's how it says. Say, in the book of God, family has first priority after God. Yes. Now, why have I said all this and we want to talk about unity? Unity, the unity of man. Because we cannot have unity by just working for unity. As all of us don't have the same interests as our main interests, unless it is God, that would be it. So we all could unite in faith, that is, that we all should believe in God. That's a starting point. We can have that point as a place for all, for unity, for us all to be united. But after that, I don't know. The best way to unite is for us to raise the level of consciousness in the people, as God has revealed that that consciousness should be raised. Then we will have respect for God. We'll have respect for our parents. We will have respect for our family. We will have respect for our neighbors. We will have respect for the environment that we're in. Because this religion, whether it's Christianity, Judaism, or Islam, these great religions says that God put man in the garden and held him responsible for caring for the garden. That means God wants us to be responsible for the environment, the beautiful environment that he created for us. We know the garden is also the spiritual. But you should also be able to step to see the logic and to make another step with that logic. Just as God wants us to be responsible and caring and gracious, appreciative in a spiritual garden, we also should be the same in this material garden or in this political garden, etc. This economic garden, this financial garden. All of it is a garden. Yes, a garden is a place where you have an opportunity to develop resources and have products. And we have all these products. We have material products, we have spiritual products and material products. We have cultural products, we have industrial products. We have all kinds of products. We have financial products. There are people who don't engage in nothing but interest. Interest. Financial money. Interest on money. They're just investing and getting the money in return. So that's financial product, isn't it? What they're getting is a financial product. They put so much finance there and they got so much finance back. So they got a financial product. Everything is a garden. Everything is a garden. All the environment that you'll be in is a garden. It should be, you should respect it as a garden. And if we can do this, we will raise the consciousness of the people. How do we go to a racist and tell him to come out of his racism so we can be in unity? How do we do that? If you go directly to him, you're not going to be successful, because we have done that and we haven't been successful. You've gone directly to the Ku Klux Klan, and we have gone directly to Minister Farrakhan, and we haven't been successful. So we have to have some other way to get to success. God says that the great worth for the human being is put into his creation, and that we have inherently all that we need. God, when he created us, he gave us all that we need to have the life he wants for us on this earth and hereafter. You have it in Christianity, in the gospel, about the talents, so many given talents, to see what they would do with them. All those talents are inherent. Just talking about it. Some of us, we are aware of, we are conscious of certain abilities we have and certain powers we have. And that will cause us to have certain motivations or aspirations to achieve certain things. None of us, I don't think, are aware of the total assets that we are created with. So we are not motivated by the total assets, by the total talents, the total of the talents that we are created with. So we'll be different. You'll be going for this and I'll be going for that. We'll be going for different things. God created us that way and put us in different parts of the world so we have different environments to work in. And what is the conclusion of all of this? God says he did it so that you will discover each other one day. And you'll discover each other one day. He's going to bring this world together. And that's what has happened. The powerful media, economics, science, business and science, and the powerful media has brought us all together now. And now we can benefit from each other. If God had let us all stay in Africa, or let us all stay in Asia, or one continent, we wouldn't be as rich as we are today. And we wouldn't bring as much food to the table as we can bring today. Variety, great variety. I'm speaking of food in the kind of a symbolic sense now. Not just talking about food we get from Jules or Dominic's or whatever. We can bring all the food to the table now. Look how rich the table is. It's because someone went that way, another one went that way. We went all over the world. Now we can bring the world treasures to one table. And we all can benefit from it. And we can ask each other, how did you make this thing? Marco Polo, he went all the way to China, came back with gunpowder. I wish he had come back with something else. But we have gotten great benefits from what he brought back. Yes, yes. So this is the way I think we should bring the world into unity. Study God's plan for the whole world and study how God wants us to evolve, to go up with our aspirations and then go out to the field so we can realize some products. Huh? I think that's Christianity and Judaism. Up and out. Up and out. Huh? Right? Vertical and horizontal. And we have it in our religion. So that God took Muhammad the prophet up, peace be upon him, up in the heavens. And carried him to the far distant mosque in Jerusalem. To show him the horizontal and the vertical. And then he came back down with a vision of how to build the Muslim community in Medina. And that's when it started. Thank you very much. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, I certainly hope that you have enjoyed what you have heard today. I know I have grown quite a bit because it had never occurred to me that the whole universe is a garden. Please, anyone who has a question.
Thank you very much. We'll go home. Out to the banquet. Rest up and go to the banquet. Yes? Yes. 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 And, well, the answer was in the presentation. The answer is in the presentation. The best answer is in the presentation. We have to have God's light on ourselves and on our world to understand what we're to do. And when we look at the urban renewal, the ones responsible for urban renewal in Chicago and different places, big cities, they admit now, and they're sad, they're hurt, that they didn't keep the human life and its needs before them while they were doing a lot of those things. It could have been planned much better if they had kept human interests before them, right along with the material interests. So I would say technology has only to do the same. Know the human interest and keep the human interest before you, before us, while we are working for our particular interests or our special interests. And we need people to be diversified, but we need everybody to respect human life and the order that God wants for everything, not just human life, but for everything. There is an obligation to the science that we arrive at by studying God's works. We have no science unless we start to study God's works with our human brain, intelligence, and have experiments and observe what happens to God's works. I'm talking about His creation. We observe what happened, then we can get some science. We can get science. We have experiments on God's works, and then we can get technology. We study it. We can know technology. We look at what's happening in God's creation, and we can have some technology. We can perceive the information that is necessary for us to have technology and benefit from the great knowledge that we extract from God's works. You see? So when we are working with anything, the carpenter has a respect for wood. If he's a good carpenter, he has a respect for wood. God put that in our nature. The thing that pleases us and satisfies us, we have a respect for it. We place high value on those things that bring great pleasure to us. The musician that can play great music and he has an instrument, he loves that instrument. He respects that instrument. He has a special respect for his instrument. So if we keep the respect, God says, "Katkaranna." I'm speaking Arabic. I shouldn't do that. This is English audience. God says, we have certainly made respectable everything. 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 So everything is deserving of our respect. Everything. We don't eat pig. But if a Muslim was out beating pigs, he would make another Muslim want to beat him. Yes, if we saw him being cruel to a pig, we would want to beat him. It's just natural. I hope I didn't answer your question without saying too much off the question. Was that okay, brother? Yes. And I call him brother because he's brother human. I don't know if he's a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, or whatever. It may be a Baha'i. All right. Yes. If you come a little closer so I can hear you without straining. First God. First God and then your family. Yes. I see. Yes. Yes. Now, to make sure, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to state it my way. I say state it myself and see if I'm clear. I may not say exactly what you said, but say my wife is Christian. I'm a Muslim. And my son is Christian. Maybe my brother Christian, but I have Christian and Muslims in my family. That what you're saying? And then how do you... Oh, they might be outside of the religion. Yes, yes, okay. There are some who are in religion and seem to be respecting religion, but some are not. Your obligation is still to family. Prophet Muhammad, he had what we call people from heathen, we call it heathenism, heathen, idolatry, idol worshippers. They didn't measure up with the people of the book, Christians, Jews, Muslim. Not on that, no. They're worshiping idols, stones, and things that make them, call them gods. He had people in his family, among his relatives, like that. When he became a leader for them, for them immediately, but for us throughout the world, Muhammad the Prophet was a believer in God, the real God, the God of the great prophets, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and all of them, peace be upon them. But they were not. They were worshippers of idols. There were few among them who didn't have a religion, but they didn't, their intelligence and their spiritual sensibilities would not permit them to join the idol worshippers. But they didn't have an established religion. They are called the Hanifi, or the Hunafah people in that time, meaning that they believed in being the best that their nature could give them or could offer them. They followed the best in their nature, in their human nature, and they were called the Hunafa. Prophet Muhammad didn't push away the idol worshiper. He had still acknowledged an obligation to them. He kept friendship with them. He kept family respect. So if he could do that with idol worshippers, what should we do if we have Christians among us? Now, even if there's an atheist, who says, I don't believe in God, we shouldn't right away condemn him and say he's evil or he's corrupt because he thinks that way. The world can be so difficult for us to live in and understand that it can drive many of us to these extremes. So we're still to have patience with each other, care about each other. So that obligation is on family members, no matter what they believe. All right. Alaikum assalam. Well, I see rap artists. They get together and they have great unity. But I doubt if there's any social equality there. So we can have unity on any grounds. We just have to want it. The point that I've been trying to make is this, that if we want to have unity, we have to have it the way God has revealed for us to have it. you know, all the bad, we could say, let's have a unity of the ignorant people, the unity of the immoral people. We could say that, but can that unite the whole of us? No. But if we say, let's have the unity of the best people, that can unite all of us. Because even a criminal will respect goodness if it's presented in a strong enough fashion. A criminal will respect goodness. The worst person on this earth will respect goodness if it's presented in a clear and right fashion. So God has created us to want to be good, to want to be better. We have a saying from the Prophet, God is good and he accepts nothing from us but good. We may offer him something that's bad, but he doesn't accept it. He accepts only good. And so we should have a unity of people in faith. You want to have unity? Don't try to unite people upon color. It'll never work. Unite people upon faith in God. Unite people upon faith in God, and we will have unity. Yes, sir. Will you state that again?
What do you see the future of Alex Lyon going?
What?
In America.
The future? The future?
Of Alex Lyon.
Yeah.
Give us a history of what Christianity has, what extent they have to go through to be established in America.
Yes, I understand now. Thank you. I didn't quite hear the first part. Yes, I got it now. Yes. Well, I think we all will have to go through the very same experience. You know, this country was really seen as a place where Christians persecuted in Europe and denied the freedom of religion would be able to come to this land and start all over again and have opportunity to establish themselves as they believe God intended for them to be established. Yes. So this country was first seen as a place for persecuted people, persecuted because of their religion. And now we know that the rich who saw opportunities to gain great wealth from this new and virgin land looked at it for their exploits. But the reason for wanting this land and wanting to take the great risk of coming across the great ocean, the great risk of losing your ship, the great risk of dying with diseases, and et cetera, and coming here and not knowing how they would fare here, a new land, new environment that they didn't know too well. The reason for taking that great risk was freedom, to have freedom of religion. Now, we're here as Muslims, and I find myself in the same position that they were in. I find myself seeing this land as an opportunity for me to have freedom of religion as a Muslim. I can't go to Egypt and feel as free as I feel here. I can't even go to Mecca and feel as free to live my religion and practice my religion and express my religion as I feel when I'm in America. This is a special place because of its original plan. The original plan was for people who wanted freedom to practice their religion and establish their religious life. So this is a special place. But I would like to say something else about this in response to your question. Another thing we have to understand is that America is no longer a Christian country. America is now a country of faiths. We have many faiths in this country. And Buddhists and others are coming in here in great numbers. So who knows where they will be 10 years from now. And some of them don't practice birth control like Christians do. So who would know? We don't know who's going to be the greatest population within a few decades in the future. Into the future, we don't know who's going to be the biggest in population. So we have an obligation also to respect the pluralism of this country. That this country has a pluralism that we all should respect. And we should be looking into our different religions. The Muslims should be looking into our religion. Muslim leaders should be looking into our religion. Christian leaders and Jews, all of us should be looking into our religions and trying to find what is more important. What God says, and take the best thereof. Look, this is scripture. God says, and take the best thereof. Because stupid people, they'll be putting a lot of emphasis like they did. In the time of Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, they were putting more importance on rituals, how to wash a pot, etc., than they were putting on the major things. You see, they were missing the major things. They were all occupied with the rituals. How is this pot supposed to be clean after it's dirtied, etc.? You see? So we're told in our religion by God in the Quran, and take the best thereof, select the best thereof. And I think that expression, Allahu Akbar, I think is so far-reaching, it's so profound, it's so far-reaching, that really the great I would say philosophy. The great Islamic philosophy must begin with the expression Allahu Akbar. Yes. Yes. Then we can know what is Islamic philosophy. We must follow that particular knowledge or wisdom or logic and everything. We must keep it before us in everything, that there is the lesser and the greater. Know your agenda. You gave me a chance to make another speech. What? Is that enough? Thank you very much. If you don't mind, I got babies with me, and I have to get them home so they can get to bed tonight. So I'm going to have to move out. We had an urgent situation back home, and I had to take the children with me. The wife, she's occupied. She's working like around the clock, trying to work for a degree in psychology. She wants to teach psychology, and she is a community volunteer servant lady too. She's stressed out, and today is her day that she gives 12 hours every Saturday to work. And I didn't have anybody else. Last minute, I had to put them in the car, dress them quickly, and put them on the road with me. So I'm not going to have to be excused from the banquet. And if I can just accept one more question, and with your permission, leave, I appreciate it very much. Yes. I believe I saw this, but you might, I didn't see you. I saw this brother here. Yes. I'm sorry I didn't see you. You passed the first, but I didn't see you. Wa alaikum assalam. Yes. 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 Mm-hmm. Bigger and greater? No, the same. Yes, you're welcome. Yes. I said one more, but I'll accept another. Since I didn't have to give another speech. My hearing is not that good. My daughter tells me I need a hearing aid, but I have a pride, and I can't put that hearing aid in yet. Yes, can you raise your voice up a little bit? I'll come closer, please. Thank you. Three strikes. What would be those three? Yes, one of them, he doesn't represent unity. Unity of human life and unity of mankind. That's one of them. And another one is that he speaks of God and on the one hand, and seems like he's talking about God Almighty that created everything. And then he's speaking of God again out of the other side of his mouth, like it's a different God, like it's a God just for black people. That's another one. And the third one is that he seems to believe that by attacking other people, he can help us, African Americans, by attacking other faiths, other religions, and other personalities. that he believes, he tends to believe that notorious, outrageous statements are good for his people. And I think all of that is very harmful to our people, very harmful in this society. And as one person have already said, we have to take him seriously. We have to take him seriously. I'm always inviting him to come from that and come straight. Put down those things that hurt unity. Islam, the greatest teachers that we know in Islam, they follow the way of our Prophet, peace be upon him, and they say that the first thing a Muslim leader is to look for, if he's going among people that are not Muslims, is what he can agree with, what he can contribute to, what he can build upon, not what he can tear down. So the negative approach is not Islamic. And I want to let you in on something. I know the Irish people. I know your history. I've studied your history. I know what you suffered in history. And it has endeared me to the Irish people so much that I think about you like I think about Jews who suffered in the world and others who suffered in the world. And I admire you so much because you've come from that to rise so high and be clean and dignified. I admire you so much. So you're looking at a person who respects Catholicism and also have great respect for the Irish people. I don't know if enough money was in it, he would. All right, thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call or write WDM Publications. Call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944. Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.